Good morning. In many Nepali congregations, there is a beautiful practice called house fellowship. It is a small midweek gathering of believers in a home for prayer, the word, and mutual encouragement. And the families take turn to host. And if you are in that gathering, you will notice a familiar pattern that emerges. While the word is being shared in the living room, someone is still in the kitchen, cooking, preparing food, maybe, you know, sometimes going to the stores and getting things needed in the kitchen. And eventually, pastor or leader has to call them, please come, sit, listen. This is because that house fellowship is mainly organized for that week, especially for that family that hosts the event. And the family, mostly mother and daughter, are engaged in the kitchen. And the pastors repeatedly, several times, not always in every house fellowship, but often you will see that. Please come, sit, listen. And here is the irony. Even the best service done with the purest heart can unintentionally create distance between us and Christ. If we are honest, some of us live there. In Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Peter Scazzaro describes a common condition called a functional orphan. A functional orphan. The idea is we believe in a heavenly Father, yet we live as if everything depends on us, our effort, our strength, our performance. So we become anxious and troubled about many things. Not because we don't believe, but because we forget that we are invited to sit at Jesus' feet. And today, through this passage we just read, Jesus gently speaks again, come, sit, listen. That's the invitation. To understand these invitations, we must first see the danger, the subtle trap that some of us fall into, the trap of many things. What we see first in this passage is the trap of many things. If you closely see, read, you know, in that just short passage, the phrase many things, or many tasks, or busy, or something like that, three times is mentioned there, three times that kind of phrase. Here, let's be clear that Martha is not wrong for serving. Because Jesus does not rebuke Martha for serving. Also, we know scripture consistently affirms active love. Even in the passage just before we read in Luke 10, we see active love in action through the parable of Good Samaritan. James 2:17 teaches that faith without works is dead. Ecclesiastes 9:10 calls us to do our work with all our might. So the issue is not service. Issue is not service. The issue is distraction by many things, many tasks, business, whatever edition of Bible we read. Luke tells us Martha was distracted with much serving. The Greek root word for distraction means to be pulled apart, dragged in different directions. That phone is dragging me into different directions. And that's my phone, forgive me. Martha is not only busy, she is divided. She's pulled away even while Jesus is in her house. And slowly, we see the symptoms. She becomes anxious, irritated, and even judgmental. She says, "Lord, don't you care?" She dares to even question that. That is a dangerous sentence. The one who welcomed Jesus is now questioning his care. This is what distraction does. It doesn't just fill our schedule, it distorts our vision of God. And what begins as distraction quickly becomes anxiety. And notice, Jesus says Martha is not only distracted, she's also anxious and troubled about many things. Again, many things. If we are honest, this is not just Martha's story. This can be a story of any of us. In fact, it's not a, I don't think it is, it is a research done rigorously, but it's floating around. I found in one of the books. So it's something interesting about how worries about the worries. So often shows that, in fact, studies often show something interesting about our worries, and about 40% of what we worry about never happens. 30% is about the past. 12% is about others. About what others think about ourselves. 10% relates to our health, often worsened by stress, anxiety. And only a small portion reflects real and solvable concerns, which means much of what fills our hearts with anxiety is not only heavy, it is often misplaced. And yet, even misplaced anxiety has real power. It pulls our attention away from Jesus and fixes it on everything else, on many tasks, many things, or every other things. There was a time in our family when anxiety took us, overwhelmed us deeply. When my wife was pregnant, the doctor told us there was a possibility of a problem with our baby's heart. In first trimester, they say he has a hole in his heart. And they even said there is a risk of Down syndrome. When we heard that, we were shocked. We were afraid. For days, everything felt heavy. Even studying, reading, doing ministry became difficult. And I realized something. My worrying was not changing my situation. It was only increasing my burden. Then slowly, the Spirit brought me back to Jesus' words, "Come, come to me, all who are weary and burdened." Not instantly, but gradually, peace came. And in that season, God taught me this. We are not called to carry our fears, but we are called to bring them to Him. We are called to bring them to Him. And in that moment, I realized I had been living like Martha, busy, burdened, but not resting at his feet. Many things can fill our lives, but they can also pull us away from Jesus. So if the problem is not service, but distraction and anxiety, then what is the solution? Jesus shows us through Mary. The priority of the one necessary thing. Here we begin to see the priority of the one necessary thing. Luke tells us, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his word. This is not passivity, this is discipleship. To sit someone's feet in that culture was to become their student. Mary is doing something radical. She is choosing to be disciple. And notice the order, at least in this situation, she's receiving before responding, listening before acting. This is very important because what we receive from Christ always shapes what we offer to him. What we receive from Christ always shapes what we receive, what we offer to him. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen good portion. She's choosing not just an activity, but a center. Not just something to do, but someone to be with. This echoes Psalm 73:26. God is my portion forever. So what is the one thing? It is not a task, not a method. This is not ultimately a practice. This is a person, Jesus himself. Here, Jesus is not saying, of course, word is more important than work. He's saying, listening to me must come before working for me. Orders matters. Because when the order is wrong, service becomes anxiety, ministry becomes burden, calling becomes pressure. But when the order is right, service becomes overflow, ministry becomes joy, calling becomes participation with Christ. We know Jesus says in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's not saying not you can do less. He's not saying you will be weaker. He's saying you can do nothing. Wow. We know a branch may look like alive for a while after it is cut off, but eventually it dries. In the same way, activity without abiding eventually becomes empty, fruitless. The one necessary thing. At the end of his pronouncement story that we just read, Jesus brings everything together. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. One version says, only one thing is needed. Not many things, one thing. The Christian life is not about doing more and more and more. Of course, it is a good thing. It is about ordering rightly when we do those good things. We need both, sitting and serving, listening and working. But both in right order. First sit, then serve. First, listen first, then act. Abide first, then bear fruit. Of course, we know in the seminary there is a debate of knowing, being and doing, and we know we can debate on that, which comes first, but one thing we know is they both reinforce each other mutually. But point here in this pronouncement story is the order, the priority. If we try to fill a jar with sand first, the biggest stones will not fit. I think you have heard pastors, saying that story of jar, or in Sunday school illustrations. But if we place the biggest stone first, everything else finds its place. Amen? Here, Jesus is saying, put me first. Put me first. Of course, many things are important, but only one thing is necessary. And that one thing is not something we do for Christ, but Christ himself given for us. As we hear Jesus' words today, one thing is necessary. This is not merely a call to adjust our schedule. It is a call to reorder our lives around him. So, let me invite us to respond together in three ways. First, let's examine the condition of our souls. If we find ourselves increasingly restless, and that is me sometimes, easily irritated, that's my wife knows, quietly burned out in our studies or ministries. It may not simply be the weight of our responsibilities, but the absence of sustained attention to Christ. The psalmist says, we know, I have calmed and quieted my soul. So let's ask ourselves honestly today, are our souls being formed at his feet or scattered among many things? And yet, the second invitation I want to make is, let's order our priorities around Christ. Jesus does not call us to abandon responsibility, but to place it in proper order. We know, seek the kingdom of God first, then everything will be added unto you. In a seminary context, including myself, we may spend hours studying scripture, preparing sermons, engaging in ministries. And yet, slowly may drift from simply being with Christ. So, let's consider together. What is quietly taking first place in our lives that belongs to Christ alone? That belongs to Christ alone. And what might it look like to intentionally place him back at the center? Lastly, let's cultivate a posture of attentiveness. Mary chose to sit and listen. That posture is not limited to one moment, it is a way of life. Before we speak for God, we must learn to listen to him. Before we serve in his name, we must remain in his presence. So let's begin simply, not with more effort, but with deeper attention. Let's make space to sit, to listen, and to receive. A psalmist in Psalm 27:4 reminds us, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." The question is not whether we are busy. Our schedule is packed by many things, many tasks. But the question is whether we are centered to Christ. Because many things may fill our lives, but only one thing can sustain it. Only one thing can sustain it. In closing, I adopted a prayer by Augustine of Hippo. These are not all of his words, but this is saved by his words, the Augustine of Hippo. Let's take a posture of prayer, if you like. Close your eyes. O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Forgive us, Lord, for filling our lives with many things while neglecting the one thing that is necessary. You, only you. Turn our hearts again toward you. From distraction to devotion, from anxiety to trust, from striving to abiding. Teach us to sit your feet. Before we rush to serve with our hands, teach us to sit your feet. Reorder our loves, refocus our attention, Lord, and draw us to yourself. Again, our true person, as Mary said, our lasting joy, our true person. Apart from you, we can do nothing, and in you, we find everything. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.